4, 3.
Welcome into the March 28th, 2024 edition of Impact Sports Daily. I am your host, Jack David, alongside my co-host, the amazing, the beautiful, the wonderful, the every word to describe you, Matt Corey. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good. There's a lot to unpack.
There is a lot to get into. We got NCAA tournament for both men's and women's. MLB opening day is today. MSU baseball, MSU hockey. It's a loaded show of Impact Sports Daily. So we are both excited to get right into it. And we're going to start off on kind of a sad note. Both MSU women's and MSU men's basketball seasons are now done. We'll start talking with about the MSU men's first. In their first game, they played Mississippi State, and they won 96-51 in the first round. Pretty fun game, will not lie. Everyone played pretty well. Do you have any thoughts about that game? I mean, it's kind of overshadowed by this next one, but...
Yeah, I mean, they looked good. It gave me a false sense of hope that we could beat North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. But,
that did not happen on the men's or women's side.
No, it did not.
North Carolina seems to own us, especially in March.
Those damn Tar Heels, yeah. Both men and women's seasons end at the hands of UNC. Men's loss to UNC 85-96, and it was definitely a frustrating game. Especially, I don't know how much of it you watched. I had to studio host the game, so the first 10 minutes of the game were really good. In that the Spartans were up by, I believe, as much as
12.
12, yeah.
12 was their biggest lead, I think.
Yeah, they're up by 12. And then they, for the 10 minutes after that, heading into halftime, just that lead vanished.
Yeah.
And then they came out of the second half and got back within a possession. Again, the false hope with this team once again prevails. And then they go on to lose by 16. So, my question, honestly, for at least this men's team, for you, Matt, what's next? What's next for this team?
There's a lot that's this season left to be desired. I mean, it honestly couldn't have been more disappointing than it was. It's what it felt like.
Number four preseason team.
Number four preseason team to a nine seed that beat a fraudulent Mississippi State team.
I think most people would agree Mississippi State was the worst 8 seed.
And to get thumped by North Carolina like that.
Especially after how that game went.
It just felt, I don't even know. I was expecting them to lose, but I didn't expect them to be on the brink of a blowout. Considering they were up 12, and I thought that we had a chance to beat them by maybe double digits or something like that was going on, because Tyson could not miss for a few minutes there, and a lot of things were going their way, and then they kind of fell back down to earth. I feel like this game was kind of indicative of the entire season in one singular game.
Yeah.
You know, the highs were like, this team could beat a one seed in the tournament and go the distance.
Feels like everyone's been saying that for all years, that, oh, this team, if they just put it all together, can beat anyone in the
country. And they had it together in that first part of the game, and then they turned back into the, you know, that Michigan State team that lost to Minnesota and all these other, you know, schools that they should have beat. So it's frustrating, but, I mean, looking ahead, by about mid-season this year, you could, like, there was always kind of that feeling that this team could either go on a big run or lose in the first round, but next year looks promising, and I say that very, very hesitantly now, but with the guys coming back and Izzo... Please use the transfer portal.
Yeah,
please.
For once in your career, Tom Izzo, please use the transfer portal to your
Your best player is a transfer. Tyson
Just true. And that's just the new age of college basketball. All of these teams that win, the players on their team more than less are not, were not recruited initially by the team that they play for. So, yeah, you hope that he can, Izzo, that is, get into the transfer portal pool and maybe pull out, I don't know, a five, a four, if you want to play book at the five next year. I mean,
yeah, just go grab a center. That's...
Go, yeah, because the center woes have been one of, if not the biggest problem with this, consistent problem with this team this entire year. So go out and get one of those. But I like our guards for next year.
Yeah.
Love Trey. Love Jeremy Fears. I love what leadership they could bring, because I think another big problem with this team this year was there wasn't a leader. You have Tyson Walker, but he's not maybe what you would want for in a leader. He's an amazing player. He's one of the most talented players Tom Izzo's ever had. Like, he is the ultimate bucket getter.
Which is unfortunate, because he's going to get forgotten pretty much because after his tenure, because they didn't do anything with him.
Yeah, this is the first group where they didn't hang a single banner, that this group meeting the seniors that are heading out. But Malik Hall, he's kind of the same way. I mean, I guess if there was a leader on the team, I guess you would maybe say Malik Hall. A.J. Hogard. I mean, I don't want to really talk about A.J. that much. He's given a lot to this program, and he's been great for the season before this. But, man, he was 1-for-10 against USC,
and he got
UNC.
Blocked three times.
He got blocked three times, kept driving to the paint, and just was just getting swatted by Baycott. And actually, it wasn't even Baycott. It was UNC's bench players. But... yeah, it's just a tough way to see these guys go out, but you look at what the roster could be. My guess for what the roster is going to be next year is it's going to be, he's probably going to do the same thing with, he's going to play three guards, so he's probably going to be Holloman, Fears, and Akins. Assuming Akins comes back. I think he comes back.
He should.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really see, like, looking at the team that we have right now, I'm not looking at any of these players and saying that guy is probably going to leave.
Yeah, no.
Besides, most of them are going to stick.
Even AJ and Mati Sissoko, they have eligibility left. So they could, in theory, come back. Should they come back? That's a different discussion. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be good for this team and the young players to I guess, kind of fail, because they're going to come back and probably not be ranked in the preseason top 25 next year, I assume. Actually, not next year, but in a couple months when the season comes back. But yeah, we'll just have to see where they go from there. We'll switch over to MSU women's again. Also lost to UNC. UNC was just MSU's worst nightmare this past weekend. But they lost by 3, 59-56, but I have more promising feelings coming out of the season than I definitely do for the men's. They definitely exceeded expectations. They couldn't really get that big win, but they were just consistently good, and they got the double bye in the Big Ten tournament, made March Madness. They're getting a lot of their players back next year. They're only losing Mo Joyner, I believe, and maybe one other player, but... and there's some players that were injured this year that should be healthy by next year. So I think MSU women's also on the rise. It'd be fun to see them next year. What do you think about that?
Just kind of like you said, it was pretty much what I've been saying all year long. They never did get that signature win in, you know, even in the tournament. It was a very interesting game. I don't know if you caught any of the game between North Carolina. They were down by, I think, as much as 11, pretty late in the game.
They were down by a lot.
Couple minutes left, and they ended up making it a 3-point game, and it came pretty much down to the wire, but they just couldn't complete the comeback. But with that said, I feel like you said, a lot of parts coming back next year. You're going to add some talent, I'm sure. But the team from this year and last year made a huge leap already in success.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you ride that momentum into next season and you can maybe see them get some of those signature wins, maybe see them as a ranked team. They were pretty close to it throughout the season. They had 7 losses. They were up and down, kind of. They were getting receiving votes, but again, just
they never, never pierced into
ranked
the top 25.
Wins. They did not win a single ranked game. So, but there is, yeah, a lot of promise for them next year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with this year being as good as it was, with kind of somewhat low expectations, I feel like, and a very, very tough Big Ten conference. I mean, you had Ohio State, Iowa, and Indiana. All those were the 3 teams ahead of them in the standings. It's so,
yeah. It definitely was a good year for them, for sure. It's exciting to think. I will say, collectively, as you know, MSU basketball, men's and women's, I do like where both the teams look like next year. I have more questions with the men's than I have with the women's, because the women's are going to get most of this team back, which is, like you mentioned, was on the precipice of being a top 25 team pretty much the entire year, it felt like. So it'll be fun to see where those teams go from here. It'll be fun to watch them next year. But yeah, let's get into some NCAA tournament now. We'll get into the men's first. The Sweet 16 is here. We've gone through the first round, the first two rounds, of March Madness. Not as crazy as maybe some other years. You had Yale in there taking down Auburn, which screwed over everyone's bracket. Screwed over my bracket. They were a Final Four team in mine. You had James Madison getting an upset. Can't forget about Oakland.
No.
Jack Oakley. I mean, stud. What do you want to talk about? I mean, 10 from 20 from the field, 10 from 20 from 3. Perfect.
Just, yeah, only shot 3-pointers.
I believe it was under 10, the amount of 2-pointers that he attempted this year at Oakland. Gotta love it.
Yeah, prior to the game against, what did they just lose to? Sorry. NC State?
Yes.
Okay.
Another, probably the only Cinderella team is NC State. They are the only seed above a 6 that made the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but I saw a thing that the odds, there was like a little bet thing that you could do is plus 750 for him to make a shot that is not a 3-pointer. Plus 750.
Did not hit, I assume.
Didn't hit.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So, I don't know. It's
Listen, he
crazy.
Knows he knows his role pretty well.
Yeah, besides that, really nothing too surprising.
No,
here.
I mean, yeah, not really. Duquesne took down BYU. NC State made it to the Sweet 16, like I mentioned. Grand Canyon almost beat Bama. That game, I don't know if you watched that game. Mm-hmm. That game was so ugly. Oh, my God. And then also Oregon as well went into double overtime with number 3 Creighton, but could not score a point in double overtime.
Yeah.
It was 73-73. The game ended 86-73. So that was, you know, frustrating for them. But we'll get into the what are the Sweet 16 teams and the Sweet 16 matchups. Games start tonight. I'm not sure exactly which ones are tonight, but in the East you have number 1 UConn, no surprise there, against number 5 SDSU, San Diego State, a rematch of the national championship game. I think a lot of people forget about that because it was kind of a forgettable national championship game.
Yeah.
Because it was a blowout. But and then on the other side, you have number 3, Illinois, and number 2, Iowa State. I want to talk about that Illinois-Iowa State game. That game is going to be so interesting because Illinois is the number 1 team, the number 1 team KenPom-wise in offensive efficiency, and then ISU is the number 1 defensive efficiency team. So what's going to happen there? I think it's going to be a pretty ugly game, but
it's going to be an ugly game, but it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be
I don't know.
It's going to be the game for the college basketball sickos.
I really do not I don't know what to expect with it.
No clue. I would probably pick Illinois right now because they have Terrence Shannon, and Iowa State doesn't really have a player of that level. They have who do they have? I don't even know. But yeah, so that game's going to be really fun. Heading over down to the West, the region MSU was in. UNC, number 1 UNC will take on number 4 Bama, and number 6 Clemson, who took down number 3 Baylor in kind of a surprise, will play number 2 Arizona. Really feels like we're prepping up for a Caleb Love battle in the Elite Eight between UNC and UNC and Arizona. Because Bama, if they play, they have to offensively be perfect because their defense is, it's not SEC defense. And then number six, Clemson, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about Clemson.
I did not expect Clemson to get this
No,
far.
Everyone also, had New Mexico.
And I'd also like to point out that I am sorry for anyone that listened to our last podcast and made their brackets based off of what we said, because I'm pretty sure about 90% of what we said might have just aged like milk.
Oh, yeah, no. Half of my Elite Eight was gone by Saturday.
Yeah.
And 1/4 of my Final Four is gone. Thank you, Auburn. But, you know, that's on me for having... I had an Auburn-Drake matchup in the Elite Eight. I had New Mexico making the Elite Eight. And then I had Kentucky making the Elite Eight. But I don't really fault myself for that one because everyone was on Kentucky because no one expected them to lose to Oakland. What the heck, John Calipari? You had one of the most talented teams you've had in around a decade, and you couldn't do anything with it. But in the South, you got Houston versus Duke, which I think is going to be a pretty interesting game. And then NC State versus Marquette. I think a Houston-Duke game could be fun because Houston, they wanted to lose to Texas A&M. They blew about a 10-point lead with like a minute and a half left. Texas A&M sent it overtime. Houston still was able to grind out the win and make it to the Sweet 16. But I think that's a good Duke team. I mean, you have the Caleb Williams of college basketball on Duke. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Jared McCain. And you have Kyle Filipowski, Proctor, like there's some good players on there. I think that's going to be a fun game as well. But NC State, Marquette. I don't know how much NC State has left in the tank. I don't know what Marquette's going to do about DJ Burns, though. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch. But I think we probably both would agree it'll be Houston, Marquette.
I kind of like Duke,
but especially after the round of 32 game with Houston. But so the last region is the Midwest. Purdue plays Gonzaga and Creighton plays Tennessee. I think this is probably the most fun, the most competitive pair of games in any of the regions. Who do you got out of this? Because personally, I got Gonzaga and Creighton. I think the Zags take down Purdue.
I think I have the Zags in Tennessee. I don't know. It just feels like Tennessee's been playing really well. Not that Creighton hasn't, but Tennessee, from watching them, it feels like they're kind of been a dominant force.
Yeah, they really have not had any struggle in their two games so far. I mean, they pounded St. Peter's. Oh, Texas was close when they played Texas.
Yeah, I kind of expected that, though.
I think everyone did.
I think Texas was a lot better than their seed, but... Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, and Creighton raises a lot of questions because of the game against Oregon where they almost lost. But yeah, I think this is going to be really fun. Personally, I have Gonzaga and Creighton. You have, I presume, Tennessee, and
yeah,
Purdue or Gonzaga.
I like Gonzaga because
this really
because I don't like Purdue.
Yeah, this feels like it would be
personal.
So funny. That too. It'd be so funny if this is the team Mark Few wins the championship with. Mind you, the teams that had Jalen Suggs and Drew Timmy and, you know, all the amazing one seed teams that he's had, like, you can count them. Like, I think you need two hands to count the number of one seeds he's had, probably. But yeah, I think this is the year they make a run, and I think it'll be. I really like them. I mean, blew Kansas out of the gym in that second half. They just ran away with it. So.
That was a crazy game.
Oh, yeah. That was in the first half, that was really fun because it was really back and forth. And then
they just fell apart.
Yeah.
Kansas did. I don't know.
I don't know. Even if they had Kevin McCullough, I don't know if that stops from what happened in that second half. They just could not play basketball. But anyways, that's it to do with the men's NCAA tournament. We will, of course, be back next week to examine the Final Four, because we will get the Final Four teams in both tournaments, because there is also another tournament going on, the women's tournament as well. My one question from this one, because it's been, you know, pretty chalky. All the one seeds have made it. A all the two seeds have made. Actually, no. Ohio State lost to Duke in a probably, you know, the only upset that's happened so far. All the three seeds have made it. And then it's just four and five seeds from there. Who do you have cutting down the nets in the women's tournament? I think it's probably one or two teams. Probably.
It's hard to say because South Carolina quite literally has not lost a single game
year. Are they 37-0?
Yeah, and they just beat North Carolina.
They beat the 88-41.
They beat them.
They beat them nearly as bad as they beat number 16 Presbyterian. So, like, how do you not?
39, 88-41.
You know what? Obviously, you want MSU to win, but gosh.
I think North Carolina might have saved them.
They would have.
This is a team on an absolute mission.
Yeah,
right,
they would have gapped MSU by 50. But yeah, it's hard to pick against South Carolina. I really do think we're in what feels like a collision course here for a South Carolina Iowa championship game. And to be honest, unless Caitlin Clark plays, I mean, unless she drops 50 points, I think South Carolina beats him by
which she could.
Which,
knowing her,
put that past Caitlin Clark, who is statistically the greatest college basketball player of all time. So, but yeah, it'd be really fun to watch. I love where women's basketball is now because people, not to say that people didn't care, but it really feels like people care about, you know, women's basketball now, and it's awesome to see. I mean, these girls are great at what they do. They put up some good performances, some great games, and I'm glad that they're getting the
You know what I'm kind of looking at?
What are you looking at?
And I'm kind of hoping it'll happen.
What are you looking at?
Iowa beats Colorado. LSU beats UCLA.
Yes.
They play each other.
We do need that because I think LSU could take down Iowa because I don't know if you watched that Iowa-West Virginia game. Kind of frisky. Kind of a little, you know, closer than it should have been, mm-hmm. especially since that game is in Iowa. But
it just feels like
a championship rematch of last year. It would be fun.
But yeah, it just feels like South Carolina is just literally just destroying everyone's school one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, unless some magic happens, because they play Indiana next tomorrow, I believe.
Poor Hoosiers, because they're probably going to get beat by 25 or something like that. But yeah, so that's going to do it with really March Madness in general. We'll move on to now MLB. It is the opening day of MLB today. Mm. The Motor City Kitties, the Detroit Tigers, take on the White Sox today at 4:10. I believe it's in Chicago.
Yes.
The game is in Chicago. Will be fun to see there. They're definitely going to be in the hunt for a division title pretty much the entire year unless they blow it. But it's a really weak AL Central. They are probably one of two, three teams that can realistically win it. Maybe four if you want to count the Royals, if you think the Royals can make a run. But every team in there besides the White Sox, I think, have a chance.
Yeah, I feel like they can win. They can take the Central. It's just such a bad division.
It's really bad. The winner of the division most likely will not get over 85 wins. Probably. It'll be like between 85 and 90 wins the division winner will have. But, yeah, I mean, they got some good players. They got Trick Scoville, who's starting on the mound today. Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green. We'll see where they can go from there. But quickly, since it's, you know, the start of the MLB season, we'll get into some predictions. Start with first the AL MVP. Who is your AL MVP, Matt? And if you don't have one, I can start so you can find one.
You can start.
For the AL MVP, this has been a pretty popular pick, but I just love this guy, Julio Rodriguez from the Seattle Mariners. I mean, everyone is on him, and I think for the right reasons. He's just electric. He just has superstar written all over him. And I think this is going to be a really good Mariners team. I love that rotation with Kirby and Wu and Gibbs and their names escape me. They have a ridiculous rotation. And I think there's going to be a good Mariners team, and I think a big reason why they're going to be able to score runs is going to be because of J-Rod, and I think he's going to walk away with the MVP.
I am going to pick another pretty common pick in Juan Soto. It feels like he's in such a hitter-friendly team now, and it's just he's already as good as he is. Now you put him in Yankee Stadium where he has to hit the ball 15 feet to hit a home run, and it's going to be interesting to watch. That team's going to be, I don't know.
It's people know they're the Yankees, and the Yankees, they've not won in a long time, so people are hesitant to pick them, but like if they can get rolling. And what I think realistically could happen if Judge stays healthy, him and Soto could combine for 100 home runs. Do you think that could happen? That just passed in my mind right now. I was like, could they combine for 100 home runs? They would both have to get 50, which is so much. Like, even like when Judge broke the AL record 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years
ago. 2 years ago with 60-something? I'm not the best with my baseball knowledge. But, yeah, that was, it's like you said, very hitter-friendly park. Soto was a good pick. On to NL MVP, and I would not be surprised if we both agree here. I have to go with Ronald Acuña to go back to back. I mean, he is, besides, actually, he will be this year. He's the best player in MLB since Shohei, you know, the gambler, is not going to be pitching, and he'll just be hitting. I think Acuña is the best player in all of baseball. He's on maybe probably the best team in all of baseball, and I think he's just going to take care of business. He's going to do what he did again. He was a 50-40 guy last year. I think he could be a 50-50 guy again this year. So, yeah, it's the easy pick, but give me Ronald Acuña.
This one's kind of tough for me. I mean, obviously he is the front runner.
Yeah, he's like the front runner, and there's not really anyone close to him right now.
Hmm.
Is there? I could bring up some other names as well that could be.
I'm looking
contention.
Right here. Some of the favorites are Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, and Austin Riley.
All of the players on the Dodgers, too.
Yeah. I like. Give me Freddie Freeman. Why not?
Let's go Freddie Freeman. I like it. Everyone loves Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman.
He really feels like, for the NFL people, he kind of feels like the George Kittle of the MLB.
Yeah.
Just like personality-wise. He's just like, he's probably the most personable and lovable personality in the MLB. So, on to AL Cy Young. This one, I think we're both going to agree. Do you want to say it on three? Do you have your pick?
Yep.
One, two, three.
Tariq Skubal.
Yeah, we're both taking Skubal.
Why not?
Why not? You know what? If the Tigers win the Central, he's going to be in contention because he's going to need to put up that type of year. So, but yeah, we'll both take Tariq Skubal. He is not the favorite.
No.
I don't even know if he's in the top five for the favorites, but pulling up the favorites right now.
I think he's up there. He's not.
He is
top 10.
I'm on this site that, you know, kind of combines all of them. He is fifth. He's behind Kevin Gausman, Corbin Burns, Luis Castillo, Framber Valdez, and then he's also in with, like, Cole Reagans and George Kirby. So he definitely could, and I think it would be a good bet to, you know, put some money on him. We can't, but if you're above 21, of course. But, yeah, I think – Oh, yeah, you can. You are 21. You are 21. I can't. But, yeah, we're both on Tariq Skubal. We're thinking he's going to light him up. He has all the talent in the world to win the Cy Young, so why not pick him for the Cy Young? Anyways, on to NL Cy Young. Who is your NL Cy Young winner? There's a lot of pitchers. I can name some guys. Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler, Logan Webb, Yamamoto, Zach Gallen, Max Fried, if you want to go with Max Fried. But yeah, even Blake Snell, who signed with the Giants, is definitely a dark horse to possibly win.
Give me Yamamoto.
Yamamoto.
It's going to be either he's going to have a breakout season or I feel like Strider might win it, but Give me a little underdog pick. Why not?
I like that. He definitely didn't have the best start to his career in the second game of the Seoul series with the Padres versus the Dodgers. I believe he let up five runs in the first. But that's not an indicator on how his career is going to go. I think he will, you know, obviously bounce back. Give me for the NL Cy Young. I love this pitcher. Give me Zach Gallen. I think that the Diamondbacks are going to once again be a good team. I don't know if they're going to be a World Series team.
Probably not.
But they will be a really consistently good team. And along with Corbin Carroll, who is also in the NL MVP race, you have Ketel Marte. I mean, there's players there. I think they'll be once again back to being in the race for that division. It's hard because the Dodgers are in there. But they'll definitely be one of the best teams in their division. And I think Zach Allen's going to be a big part of that. So, lastly, who is your World Series champion?
Tigers.
Yeah. Do you want to say it?
No.
I'm not either.
It'll
be fun, though.
I think it's hard to bet against the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, they just have everyone, so.
Yeah.
Did you see the contract they just gave to catcher Will Smith?
No, I did not.
10 years, $140 million.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's
pocket change for him.
Yeah, that's 14 a year before they even have to deal with Shohei's contract, because Shohei's only going to get 2 a year, so they have the flexibility to do that. So, are you going with the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard not to at this point.
Yeah, it's really not. I mean, it really is hard to go with them, but I'm actually going to go against them. I'm going to go with the other favorite in the MLB. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Braves. Dodgers, yes, they have all the players in the world, but the Braves really feels like they've all the players that they have besides Freddie Freeman, it feels like they've just cultivated and have grown all these players. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they got Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, like I mentioned. Oh, my God. Backtrack. He's on the Dodgers. I'm thinking of Freddie Freeman on the Braves. Freddie Freeman is not on the Braves. Sorry about that. But they do have Austin Riley. They have Ozzie Albies. They have Michael Harris II. They have Spencer Strider. They have player after player. And I think just as a team, they gel well as the Dodgers, better than the Dodgers. So give me the Braves.
It's a lot less money, too.
Yes.
They
that is true. But
incredible at utilizing their money.
Yeah, they are. But when it comes time to re-sign Ronald Acuna Jr., I would imagine his contract would be above $500 million. Probably.
But, honestly, but that'll be okay. Because it feels like so far they've had a lot of like good players come to their team on such like relatively, not cheap, but less than you'd expect.
They contracts. Get a lot of value out of their contracts because the players usually play better than their contract. Like, they re-signed Acuna in 2019 to an 8-year deal, so he's going to be on that deal, and he's going to be, you know, quote, he's going to be underpaid for his performance, but they're not going to have to deal with that until 2027, 2028.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's going to be all that's all we have for MLB for today. It's going to be a great season. Really fun opening day. Tons of games all day today. We will transition into some more baseball. Quickly touch on the MSU men's baseball team. They lost yesterday to Oakland 11-6. Oakland got out to a 6-0 lead. MSU crawled their way back into it, but then Oakland just took away after that 5-0. Game ends 11-6. Any comment on that game?
I don't know. I mean, they were down, I think, 5-0 and just couldn't complete the comeback. They just, for lack of a better term, they shelled Michigan the other day.
Oh yeah, they shelled them by 10. So I literally wrote on this sheet, beat up Michigan the day before, 16-6, and that game was never close.
So
that was in Ann Arbor as well.
Really, what yesterday's game came down to was a lot of walks and defensively kind of a poor game. I know I can't remember the exact quote, but I know Jake Boss, the head coach, had some words to say about the defensive end of the team, somewhere along the lines of you can't give up as many, you know, mistakes and stuff like that and expect to win,
mm-hmm.
even though they put up as many runs as they did. So it's just kind of been the whole year, though. It's been up, down, sideways, upside down. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. What's their current record? 10-12, 10-13? One of those two. So it's definitely been, like you mentioned, an up and down, side to side type of year. Upcoming for them, they have a 3-game homestand against Rutgers that starts tomorrow on Friday. Will be interesting to see because that is a good Rutgers team. Mm-hmm. Much better record than Michigan State. So if they can able to maybe, you know, win that series, I think you can maybe create some momentum desperately needed to try to get some wins strung together for this team. But
yeah. We
will end today on a high note, talk about MSU hockey. They are the Big Ten tournament champs. They took down Michigan at Mount Ice Arena Saturday night. We won actually two championships on Saturday. Both hockey and gymnastics also as well. So shout out to gymnastics. So MSU was able to beat U of M. Really close game. Great game. Awesome environment. And what a shot to win the game.
Yeah. I mean, it was he almost took that shot from the blue line.
Yeah. It was basically from the blue line, which is just can't express to you how far that is unless you've actually, you know, been on the ice or tried to hit from that far. It is very far. So they're now a one seed in the NCAA tournament. They will play Western Michigan, which theoretically they should take care of business there. And then if they can take care of business against Western Michigan, they will play the winner of Michigan in North Dakota. So here's the question. Do you think, based on this pool of teams that they have, do you think this is a Frozen Four team?
It looks like it. I mean,
they're going to be favored too, so.
Everything's kind of pointing towards them being able to make a run. They've been just solid all year long. The goalie play's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been great for them. I mean, so, you know, why not? Why not?
Why not? Why not? Why not make a little Frozen Four run? Yeah, I don't think they'll have a lot of problem with Western Michigan, but I don't like the fact that they have to either play Michigan again, which I think everyone on this campus agrees, we're done playing Michigan this year. We've played them enough. We don't want to play them again. Or they have to play a sneaky good North Dakota team. I mean, regardless, I think they can beat any of these teams, but it's just some of the other teams they could have, you know, got matched up with, you would prefer. But they are, you know, they are the number four of the one seeds in the tournament. So. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for Matt and I here in the Impact 89 FM studios. Thanks once again for you guys tuning in. It's a great show. We will be back next week, like always. So for Matt and I, thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.
See you.